Now, suppose somebody that you loved, a believer, was diagnosed with a life-debilitating, aggressive form of cancer. Now, this is somebody that you love, and they're a Christian. Now, if this happened, you would go to that person just as soon as you could, and you would probably take some form of a gift. Something to just show that you care for this person. And you're trying to think, what is it that I could give to them? What would they like? What kind of things do they like? What would they enjoy at this time? How could I help them? How could I encourage them with a gift? But the best gift that we can give to somebody who is suffering, the best gift that we can give to comfort a loved one, would be not a material gift, although those are nice. But it wouldn't be a material gift. The best gift that we could just give to somebody in a position like that, somebody who's afflicted, somebody who's suffering, would be a gift of a spiritual nature. The best gift that you could give is you. And the best version of you, which is you in fellowship with the Lord. You filled with the Spirit of God. Your testimony that God has comforted you in all of your troubles. And now you come to them with a testimony, with a light upon your face, with the Spirit of God on your witness, and using you to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to somebody. That's the best gift that you could give. We're going to discover that in this passage today. But Paul opens his letter. I just want to give a little bit of a background on this. This is the message that the Lord gave to me. I suppose the Lord said it's time to be nice to him this Sunday. You know, you're pretty hard on him last couple of Sundays, and now it's time to be nice. Maybe this message is for me. I've been directed towards this passage for quite some time, but this is God's message for today. Paul opens his letter in the usual manner. In verse number 1, he starts with his name. And then he gives his office. He's Paul, and he's an apostle. This opening is followed by a greeting in verse number 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to point something out in verse number 1 just quickly because it's related to my message. He says, the church of God which is at Corinth. Paul's letters were always addressed to a local church. An independent, self-governed, Bible-believing church. The New Testament knows of no other organization other than this. What you have right here. This is it. It's Jesus Christ as the head over every independent, Bible-believing church that is following this. And Jesus Christ leads the church through the pulpit ministry, through the Word of God. He rules over his church. The New Testament knows of no other organization such as the Church of England, the church that persecuted people like us terribly before we fled to America, to the New World. It knows nothing of the Presbyterian Church, which would be the state church of my mom's ancestors, the Scots. It knows nothing of the Church of Scotland. It knows nothing of the Southern Baptist Church. None of that. Those are all non-biblical inventions of men. Were they useful perhaps for a time? Used by God, certainly. Some great Church of England preachers came and preached in our land. George Whitfield, you've heard me talk about him. John Wesley, John Newton was rejected at first by the Church of England. And became an independent, but the man who wrote the Amazing Grace. So God has used them greatly, but it's not of the Bible. And you don't find it in the Word of God. What you find is what we're doing right here. We don't need to look for anything else. This is the authority. This, which I'm trying to point out, this is the place of blessing. Right here. What God has going on right in this place is your place of blessing. Your place of equipping. Your place of encouragement. Your place to find what you need amongst God's people for what God is going to call you to go through. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know but that we might get a call. from a doctor. Or we don't know that we might get a call from a son or a daughter or a grandchild. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we have everything that we need to go through it. And God provides it through His Word and through His church. It's so important. Paul wrote to a church and gave them these words. Notice, too, that the greeting in verse number 2 says, "Grace be to you." This is imparted grace. This is grace coming from God the Father and imparted or given to us. It comes from God to impart strength, to impart comfort for each day and hope for tomorrow. That's the Christian. That's the Christian. We're hopeful people. We are hopeful people. Much of what we have to teach and understand about our nature and about this world is entirely negative. The teaching of the New Testament is probably 2/3 negative and 1/3 positive. But folks, we are a hopeful people because Jesus Christ has overcome death. He's overcome our sin nature. We can walk in victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an expected end. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the promises of the Scriptures. And we have this wonderful thing called the local church to equip us, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us hope. Amen. How many times have you ever been to church and, you had a rough week? Man, it was just like, when it rains, it pours. It just seems to come in waves, everything's fine. But then all of a sudden it just starts coming in waves. And you come to church and you come in here feeling like, I don't know if that preacher's able to bless me today. I just don't think, my blesser's broken, And then you come away feeling like, I feel a lot better. God did something for me today. God helped me today. That's what the church is here for, in part. He says, "Grace be to you." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see that? We need to come and find that grace to help us in time of need. So, a portion of this imparted grace is the Christian's comfort that Paul talks about in verse number 3 and 4 and down further. I want to deal with this comfort under three headings: praise, purpose, and participants. First, under the praise, Paul gives praise for the comfort that God affords his children. Notice in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed be God." In other words, he's just saying, well, praise the Lord. That's the same expression. That's what he means there. He's just praising God as he thinks about opening up this letter and writing to God's people. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Notice that. And the God of all comfort. Isn't that wonderful? The God we serve, He's the Father of mercies. He loves to be merciful. This is our Heavenly Father. He wants to show us mercies that is not doing to us what we deserve. He loves to comfort His children. God would rather be merciful. God would rather show comfort than He would judgment, chastisement, rebuke. You see, when we think about God, it's the old hacksaw Jim Duggan with the 2x4, right? Just ready to just crack you over the head with that thing and break it like it's a, break it into splinters. And a lot of times we have that idea of God. Now, if God is the God of all comfort, and if this comfort means giving us strength and help for the day and encouragement, who's the one who would discourage us? Who's the one that would make us think that God is like an angry bully? Who would do that? The devil would do that. The devil would discourage. The devil would say, you better stay away from God. You're in trouble with Him. You better stay away from Him. You better pull back. You better pull back from God's people. You better put some distance between you and God's people because God is mad at you. But listen, if God is mad at us, if God is taking a switch and wearing us out, just taking us round and round circles till we're just wore out, are you done? Are you done fighting against me? Are you done resisting? Are you done with your foolishness? If that is what God's doing, how many of you know, if you've ever been run around in circles with a switch, how many of you know you better grab a hold of mama's leg? Because you get in there closer, she's tap, 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 tap. trying to get you and she can't get you. And you, but you get farther away, man, you catch the end of that thing and just whap, you know. Get in closer. But the devil would have you think that this is how God primarily deals with us, and it's not. It's not. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. Jesus on the cross, after everything that they did to him, he cried out, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. These wicked Roman soldiers. Forgive your people, the Jews. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive Peter. He didn't know what he was doing." He's just crying out and saying, "Father, forgive." When the Lord came down in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam, I want to tell you, based on what I know about God, I'm going to tell you why he was there. Did he need Adam? He had all those angels. Did he really need to make man? Did he need to come down every day in the cool of the day? But no, it was before he had made Eve. And God looked at Adam and he said, "It's not good that a man should be alone." God said, "I'm going to keep him company, and I like to be around him anyways." I'm just reading this into it, okay? This is kind of my little commentary on that. God said, "It's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to spend time around him, get real close to him, walk with him, everything like that. And then I got something in mind for him. I got someone in mind." You see, God wants to comfort us. God wants to show us mercy. In verse number 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Paul begins with praise for the comfort that God gives to his children. Then, our apostle, he tells us of the purpose of this comfort. The purpose. The idea of comfort is someone coming alongside of us. We have a comforter within, right? John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he shall be in you, and he shall be with you." And Jesus said, "And I'll come to you." What he was saying is, "I'm going to come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be with you, in your midst, as a comforter. Someone to come alongside you. But not just alongside you, to be within you." Titus, he came alongside of Paul. And we actually, if you want to turn there real quick, it's just right here in this letter. Chapter 7, verse number 6. This tells us the occasion for Paul's praise and talking about the purpose of comfort. The occasion was the visit of Titus. A Christian brother had come to Paul, and definitely Paul was like the senior, and this brother Titus was trained by Paul, but that didn't make any difference. He still comforted him by his visit. So chapter 7, verse number 6, "Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." You say Paul got cast down? Paul felt like that? Yeah, Paul, sometimes he felt like he was just cast down. He's just feeling down. But he was comforted by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When Titus visited the church in Corinth and said, "Paul, since you sent that first letter, they're being obedient to the word of God, they're humbling themselves, they're broken up because they've made you upset, and they love you, and they just want to express their love back to you and tell you that they're trying to do the right thing and they want to obey the word of God." And Titus came back with this report that this troubled church was repentant and teachable and humble and submissive, and they were so upset that they had made Paul upset. But when he told us, "Your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." You see, Paul was comforted by this Christian friend coming to him. Now look, this comfort that God gives to us, it's for our good and our benefit, right? We would agree that. That's where it starts. God's doing it because we need it. But the comfort, since it's an imparted grace, it flows from God. Let's just say it flows from God through us to others. From God through us, like a conduit. You'd run water through or something, run that living water through us to others. So Titus came with a report that comforted Paul and allowed that grace to flow through him to Paul to encourage that gospel worker. You see, that's the way it works. My dad, is, as you know, has been fighting with cancer, like so many. And people have been coming to his house and dropping off books, saying, this book will help you, or this natural remedy, try this. And my dad was showing me this book that he had gotten, and he said, it's a friend of mine and neighbor down the road, and they really are really nice folks, and I know they love the Lord and all that. He said, they gave me this book. He said, I've been reading it, but I don't know. And they're using, you know, some things in here I'm not familiar with. And my dad's just King James Bible all the way. It's just his whole life just read the Bible. Man of one book. He said, what do you think about this book? And I said, I don't know. I mean, if there might be something in there, it's going to help you. And he said, I think I'm just going to go back to read my Bible. I hope they're not upset, but he said, I would just want time in the Bible. So he's telling me he's just been reading his Bible, and you can see it on his face. He's different because of it. The Word of God is doing everything that the Word of God does. He said, I've been reading through Revelation, reading the book of Matthew, and that Bible has been encouraging him. And others can come to you to encourage you, but when we come to other people, we need to come with the right things. You know, all we need is ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit. My dad said, I got some friends coming over, some guys he used to play music with when they were kids, and they're saved now. And he said, they're coming over and they're going to pray and ask God to heal me. And two of them coming over, and he was looking forward to it. And just those two people coming over, there's two men coming over to have some Christian fellowship with somebody who can't go to church right now, have some Christian fellowship to pray with him. These kind of things are little mercies that God is sending to let his grace flow from him through us to others. You see what I'm saying? But this doesn't work now. It doesn't work unless you are taking advantage of this benefit. Unless you have been comforted. Do you have a testimony that you have been comforted by God? Or when you go through a trial, do you kind of pull back from God? When you go through a trial, do you get out of church? I never understood that. Why do people say, I'm just going through a hard time, preacher? I don't think I'll be there this Sunday. I'm trying to get some things straightened out. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, okay? Because I felt that way. But I don't understand it. If you're going through a hard time, come to the place of blessing. Amen. Come here. The message that you needed, you probably missed it. Probably something God had just for you, and you weren't here, and you missed it. Now, I've gone through some pretty hard times, and nothing probably like some of you have. But when I did, a preacher came to me and he said, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep doing what you know to do. Doing what God told you to do, and he will get you through this. If you move away from God, you'll be forfeiting those benefits and the strength that you need to get through it. So, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. So, the idea of comfort is first for us, but it's not just intended for us. It's intended to be shared. Last night, watching a movie with Jace and Lucas, Lily didn't make it. She spent the night in her room. And pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for me. I stand in need of prayer. We was having a fun time. And you know what I like and what me and Lucas and Jace like? We like popcorn. And popcorn is pretty good, but I've sat there with some popcorn watching a movie by myself and been like, eh, I thought I liked popcorn. But when you're sharing it with somebody else, isn't popcorn better when you're sharing it? There's something about that sharing with other people that makes it better. I've eaten peanut M&Ms, love peanut M&Ms. I buy the big shareable bag, even if I'm not going to share them. I'll buy the big bag. But they're better when they're shared, aren't they? And this here, this comfort, this is better when it's shared, and it's meant to be shared. That's the purpose of it, you see? God comforts us so that we can comfort them, others, which are in any trouble. And you don't necessarily have to walk through the same trial that they walk through. But if you walk through a trial and experience the comfort that comes from God, you have that testimony. Now you can go to that person and say, I don't know exactly what you're going through, and I won't pretend to. Okay? But I can say this, that God has comforted me in my hard time. And you give them your testimony. You tell them your story. This will bless people. You can comfort others that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, it's intended to be shared. And he says in verse number 5 that the comfort, even though God allows you to go through some tough things and you don't understand it, and you might pray like Jeremiah, been reading through Jeremiah in our daily Bible reading, you might pray like Jeremiah sometimes and look at the ways that he prayed to God. It's just like, God, what's happening? Why are you doing this to your people? Just interceding for Israel, saying, don't destroy the place where your name is, you know. Don't you want to protect Zion and all of these things? Jeremiah is just talking it over with the Lord. God's a big God. He can take it. He can take it. Amen. So finally, he says that the sufferings, however great they might be, the consolation or that comfort will also abound. You see, sufferings abound, consolation abound. It'll be equal to or greater. Whatever the sufferings are, the consolation or the comfort that comes from God, this imparted grace to strengthen you and help you through it and give you hope for tomorrow, will at least equal it or be greater. But only if you are in the place to receive this blessing spiritually in your life and in your relationship with the Lord. Now, verse number 6, finally we get through to the partakers. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. These are the partakers. Who partakes of this comfort? And your consolation, your salvation, which is effectual, it'll have this effect on you in the enduring. You have to endure your trials with God. And I got this quote from the Life Application Study Bible, and I just think it's helpful. And you can think what you want of that, okay? I just think that that study Bible is helpful sometimes by the way that it says things in a way that people in our day and age can understand it. And it said that when you're going through a trial, put Christ in the middle of your problems and then don't be moved away from Him. That's great. I think that's a great way of saying that. Put Him in the middle of your trial and then don't be moved away from Him. Because I know the thing that we do. What do we do? Whenever we go through heartaches, we draw back from God. I don't know why. That's our first tendency, and that should not be what we do. The first thing that we should do, like Job, when he went through his trial, he just sat down on the ground. He shaved his hair off and sat down in sackcloth and ashes and put on these itchy clothes and was obviously fasting. And he just talked to God, and he just gave a testimony. He just said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord take away." You know? That's what we should do. We should worship when we go through these things. It's God that allows these things to come into our lives. And it's always for our good and for the benefit of others and for God's glory. So these partakers are only partakers if they endure in the suffering with God to receive this blessing or this consolation. Now the idea of verse number 6, because it's a tough verse, this is the idea simply. If we are afflicted, Paul says, it is for your good. If Paul and his gospel workers are afflicted, it is for your good. If we are comforted, it is for you, your good. Because the people in Corinth would benefit by his ministry, whether he was persecuted or whether he was comforted. Now, the sufferings in verse number 7, which is where we're going to have to end it, the sufferings of the people in Corinth gave Paul hope. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. What's that mean? Because they were obedient to the truth and willing to endure persecution for the Lord, willing to take a beating for the Lord, Paul says this, I'm sure of you. Our hope of you is steadfast. I'm sure of you. I'm sure about this. I know you're really saved. Because if you weren't saved, at the first sign of trouble, you'd be gone. You wouldn't keep you'd keep your mouth shut. You wouldn't keep on talking about Jesus. You wouldn't keep on witnessing. You wouldn't take anything for somebody you didn't believe in and didn't love and didn't trust. But because you do believe in Him, because you do love Him and do trust Him, you're willing to be persecuted for His sake. And if we are persecuted, if we do suffer in this life, which is what this passage really refers to, is the suffering of persecution, but it can refer to any trouble because he says any trouble in verse number 4. If you are suffering for Christ, then Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If you suffer with Christ, you will be glorified together with him. In other words, let's just say you're on a football team, okay? And right now the team is working really hard to keep their position or to advance, and they are going to an away game, and you did something to mess up and get in trouble, and the coach has got you on the bench. Okay, you go with the boys in the bus, you go to the other school, you get out there on the field, you do all of that stuff, people's cheering and everything else, but you're sitting on the bench. You watch them play. You watch them play through the rain and the mud and all of that, and all of the striving and the hard work to pull it off and to win the game. And on the way home, everybody's cheering in the bus, everybody's happy, and everybody's celebrating, everybody's excited about it. And you're happy too, but you're just kind of not with them in the rejoicing because you weren't a part of it. Because you know you blew it, and you had to sit on the bench. And so they're rejoicing, you're happy for them, but you're not really a part of that rejoicing. You see what I'm saying? This is going to be the way it is for us if one day we get up to glory and we don't suffer anything for Jesus. And we might not be called upon to suffer persecution, but maybe we will. But whatever you are called upon to suffer, do it in the name of Jesus and rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer for his sake. Because it says, now think of this for just a minute. If you suffer, you will be comforted by God. You can share that with others and bless them and comfort them. It's to their salvation. Okay? Their salvation in life, which we won't go into that, but can we just say that's a good thing? You're helping them. You're working towards their salvation. Okay? Doesn't that sound like what Christ did for us? Christ suffered when he was arrested. We just read about it in our Old Testament reading, how his beard was plucked out and they spat in his face. And he was abused horribly and whipped with a cat of nine tails. His back lay open and bare. They say that bones would be exposed when that happened. His suffering started on the way to the cross. How he was mocked and ridiculed and how he got up on that cross naked and bleeding, hanging on a cross, saying, "It is finished," paid in full, paying the debt for our sins, paying the penalty that are due to our sins that we owe as sinful people, guilty before a holy God who will not allow sin into heaven. Jesus Christ suffered for us. And when we receive him by faith, receive him as the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." When we receive him and his sacrifice for our sins, we become children of God. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? That means you can comfort other people even if they're not doing right. Amen. And as a matter of fact, that might be exactly when they need it. So when they're down, you don't just like drop an elbow on them, you know, come off the ropes on them. You get down there and you say, "Let me help you up. Let me comfort you. Let me tell you what God's been doing in my life recently." You see? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His suffering led to our comfort and our salvation. You see, so you are Christ-like when you do this. So if you are called upon to suffer anything, do it and experience the comfort of blessing that comes from God, and have that testimony and use that for somebody else, and it'll be sweeter to you. It'll be sweeter. Now, if we all suffer together, then we can rejoice together. But by what means or by what ways do we experience this grace, this comfort that comes from God? Can I just tell you, this grace that helps in time of need, it comes through your local church. It comes through a real prayer life with the Lord and obedience to the Scriptures. Those Corinthians wouldn't have experienced this comfort, Paul says, if they wouldn't have been obedient to the Scriptures. And Paul wouldn't have been comforted by them had they not been obedient to the Scriptures. It comes through fellowship of the saints. That's communion. Communion means we're all in this together, having things in common, the union of believers. Singing, making melody in your heart. I don't know how many times the song has lifted me up. And it might have been real good preaching, but God just used a song that day was what I needed. Or maybe it's just a song that I have in my heart. And His indwelling presence, don't forget that. The Comforter lives within you. But folks, we're not intended to go through this thing alone. We're not intended to go all lone wolf on God. If you do that, you're disobedient and out of the will of the Lord, okay? Just in general circumstances. That's what I'm saying that in, okay? Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, I pray that right now that You would come down and comfort and bless those that need it. We thank You that You delight in doing this. You like to do it. This is who You are. This is what You're like. Even with a sinful people, even after the fall, You commend Your love toward us. You demonstrate it even while we're yet sinners. We thank You so much for that. We praise Your holy name for who You are in truth. And when the devil comes to us and tries to discourage us, Lord, help us to consider the source, consider where it's coming from. I pray for these here today, Lord, as we all just are in prayer to You, whatever the need is, I thank You that You're more than able to meet the need, to strengthen us, to help us to go on. We praise You today for the visitor with us. Pray for Your blessing on his life and his business. And Father, I praise You for this church and for their faithfulness, their service to You. Father, if there be one here today that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's somebody here and You're dealing with them about church membership and supporting this church with their time and their treasure and their talents, Father, I pray that You'd move them in Your time. Have Your sweet will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our song?
277.